Welcome to the New Wolsey Theatre podcast. I'm Jack.
I'm Zanna.
And I'm Catherine. Come with us behind the scenes where we take you backstage, on stage, front of house and everywhere in between.
Today we are talking all about things relating to set and costume, so where the ideas come from, how it's all put together, how it's maintained during a long show run, and this is with theatre designer Cleo Pettit. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Cleo. To get started, could you just explain a little bit more about what you do and what it means to be a theatre set and costume designer?
Yeah, I sit at home creating amazing worlds in small, basically in small model form, and it's a total and utter pleasure. Yeah. I'm really lucky to have this job. It's amazing.
So you fully, from the beginning, you design how a show is going to look on stage and all the costumes as well?
Yes. And I don't always do both. Occasionally do one or the other, but it's better when you do both.
And you've worked with us here at the New Wolsey before. You've done Grandma Saves the Day. This year, really excitingly, you'll be working with us on the Rock and Roll Panto Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Yes, I will. I'm looking at the model box as we speak.
Oh, wow. Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we look at Goldilocks coming up later this year, what's the process of designing the set and the costumes from the moment you're hired right up until the show opens? Are you given a brief or a mood board, or do you create those yourself? What's the whole thing?
Well, firstly, I build the actual theatre.
Right.
And then so that I've got the model and to the right scale. Mm-hmm. And then obviously I talk to the director, Pete, and see how he's thinking of it. And we both agreed, I don't remember who came up with it, but to bring it out into the audience as much as possible, because it's a set in a circus, this one.
Yeah.
And it's already got that feel, because the stage sort of comes out a bit and the audience are wrapped around it. It lends itself to having that circus feel. And then I went away and Googled circuses. Yeah, it always starts with research. That's the main thing for me, right? Visual research. And I came back and I've put a sort of big top piece over the middle of the stage at the moment. And then we discussed that we probably have to push the band back a bit, so you've got that sort of performing area.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the thing specific with these, they're actor musos, so you've got the band on stage always. That takes up a lot of the stage. But also, it's the big highlight of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're watching live music and it's really more active, with the actors switching parts and stuff. Skilled people at work.
You do that design as part of the, like a model box, it's called.
Yeah.
And then what's the next step?
We've had the next meeting, and that's when the other people come in, like sound, lighting, mm-hmm. production manager, all those people saying, well, they're checking that you haven't gone completely astray with the budget,
yeah.
which is important, and that you can crew it and it's safe and all those sort of aspects. And there's just things like the production manager, Mr. P, says, oh, we could have this stuff printed. We could then put that all the way around the back of the audience as well. And we could use some of the fabric to go over the entrances in, so that you're already in the circus. You've got a feeling of the circus when you're even in the theatre. Well, I wouldn't have known if that was possible or if that was in the budget. And that's when all the team come together and you sort of create something together.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
And sort of expanding what I've come up with. Everyone else has input. And they're like, and the lighting designer's there and he's saying, I can light that, but you need to put those bulbs there and then maybe continue that there. And it's, oh, yeah, I could definitely do that. Yeah. I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where you're up to at the moment for Goldilocks?
Yes. Yeah. The next stage is to colour it.
Okay.
And then do the which is really, really fun job, and then painting it all tiny.
Yeah.
And then technical drawings, so you can get the drawings to the builders, and then the model box goes to the builders and the painters, and then it all gets really good.
Wow, so really fine
starts
detail. Really fine detail you have to work in.
Really fine. Really fine.
I look at them when they're displayed, obviously when we have a show here, we put the model box down in the theatre for people to see before they go to the auditorium. And there was I think Burke and Hare we had recently, which there was like tiny little cups and tiny sort of little ornaments that were all there. How important is it to kind of get that little detail as well, and not just kind of go, well, they're fiddly to make, but we know they're gonna be there. How important is it to include all that?
I think it's really important, because you need to see if it works, because people are spending money on it. So you need to know that your decisions are correct. And if you don't see it in there, you don't know if it works. There's a point where you can't build everything in tiny.
Yeah.
And you sort of know that's going to be dressed, but you've got to sort of represent it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about costumes? What's the process for that? How does that begin?
It's a little bit later than set, just because of builders and I don't know. I always tend to do the set first and then costumes, the next conversation. And we're about to start that. We've had a bit of a conversation. It's you set the era for both the set and the costumes at the same time.
Right.
But I need to design them whilst I'm doing the set, whilst I'm colouring the set to make sure the colours work.
Yeah, yeah. So they kind of work together.
They definitely work together style-wise and colour-wise. It's really important as well. Yeah, I've got to do them together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is the next job. I need to crack on with that.
Anna, obviously, we assume there will be bears in Goldilocks, which I'm sure you probably can't tell us too much about because we don't want to get any spoilers and things like that. But it did get us thinking, how does it work to design animal costumes? Are there must be different elements to consider. Is there anything you've worked on previously where you've had to design costumes for animals or a mythical creature maybe?
Yes, especially Panto. Yeah, it's all sorts because you can get a classic cow for Jack and the Beanstalk where you've got someone in the front, someone in the back.
Yeah.
Classic Panto cow. But quite a few times it's just they're characters. So right. I did recently a tiger that was really bright flaming pink tiger from a strange jungle universe. Yeah. And then I've done all sorts of big creatures that are just one person in them and they're just a stylized version. And you have to really, really think about the actor because especially if there's fur and they're big, it will kill them doing two shows a day or sometimes three in some theatres.
Yeah,
yeah. It will kill them. Like if they're really furry, you've got to build out some sort of framework inside it. I mean, that's not my job. That's the costume supervisor's job, and they're really experienced with that sort of thing. And they'll say, "Oh yeah, we'll build this frame, and it'll keep it away from the body." Sometimes there's even fans inside costumes, packs, all sorts of things. Yeah,
I've often wondered about sometimes people getting too hot in costumes. Like, how do they manage that? Yeah,
yeah, all sorts of things like that. Oh, sometimes they just put a seat in the wings with the fan aimed at it, so that they come off and they're just there.
Yeah, no, it doesn't surprise me.
What's the weirdest kind of creature costume you've had to make before or design before?
Weirdest? We built a sort of Yeti for Jack and the Beanstalk once, which was sort of the giant, but it was a strange Yeti character covered in fur. That was horrendous for them. And it was a stilt walker inside it.
I was going to say, I don't envy the person inside.
No.
Yeah, they need weight. If anyone needs a good diet plan, dress up as a giant Yeti.
and the final costumes that are produced in the end and the set as well, how much does that usually look like the initial designs? Does it change a lot over the period of time?
No, once it's locked in sort of in this model and the drawings, that's how it looks. Yeah. And it amazes me how it really is how it looks. Because the team are so good. The builders, painters, costume makers, everybody are so good. The only time you vaguely vary is sometimes when you buy fabric because you can draw it but you don't know what fabric's available specifically. Sometimes you go to the fabric shop and there's something with spots on it and it's close to what you designed but a bit better stars or something. You go this fabric's amazing and you can that changes slightly.
Yeah,
that's where there's a bit of leeway. You can't predict what fabrics are available in the world because they change all the time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I was going to ask, what are the timelines like for both making, you know, sort of designing costumes and set? Do they sort of influence each other as well? Does, you know, in terms of maybe like colours and sort of scales and sizes and things, what are the timelines for them both? How interwoven are those two elements of the show?
They're very interwoven. Yeah. They do have to go hand in hand. But yeah, I usually end up delivering the costume designs about a week or two after the set.
Right.
But I don't know why it's just always set up like that.
Yeah. So there's no real rhyme or reason for that.
I'll tell you why. Yeah.
Do you go, we've spoken to our wardrobe supervisor, Margaret, who quite often works with us.
Who is a genius.
She is a genius.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She was telling us about shopping for fabrics. Are you part of that process as well? Or do you leave it to her?
No, you always go together. And that is because sometimes you might get inspired by a fabric.
Yeah.
And change things slightly. Or you'll say, look at this. It's exactly the right thing. And they'll go, there's no stretch in it.
Yeah.
Right. This is for a person that needs to do dance. Oh, damn. So then, and if you can't find exactly what you want in then you have to compromise and you have to be there for that.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be your decision. Really teamwork.
Yeah. I was going to say something I've always found really kind of baffling is touring productions and designing set for them. How difficult is it to make a set that's for one theatre that's going to then move on to another and kind of take into account the sizes of the different stages? And do the sort of sets, do they change a lot depending, or is there like little different bits of the show that changes from set to set?
Yeah, you have to, you couldn't do a big solid proscenium arch sort of thing, for example. You'd have to do two legs and a header, so the header could sit behind or in front and you could move the legs in. You know, that's basic scenery. You know what I mean? You have to do it in pieces more so that there's ways that things can shift and piece together.
Yeah.
Basically that. So you can move things in, move things out, shift things around a bit.
Yeah.
Within some sort of movable framework.
Yeah.
That's, in essence, that's what you do.
Okay.
You can't construct some solid thing that refuses to budge one way or the other. It's almost another whole ball game, that.
How does someone who is interested in set and costume design for the theatre enter that world? How do they get into it?
Well, I mean, I was helping out my local Amdram when I was young, and that was really good, just at a basic level, just to have a go and start, you know, getting involved, basically. There's some amazing Amdram out there, actually, great companies. And then I went to, I did Art Foundation.
Yeah.
And I had to persuade my tutors that I needed to learn about theatre. So they did me a special module.
Oh, really?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then with that work, I think, and all the volunteering and pictures I had of sets I'd done and stuff, I got onto a degree course.
Where was that at?
Birmingham.
Okay. Yeah.
It was some years ago now. There's a lot more courses now.
Yeah.
You know, places like, I don't know, I'm guessing it's easier to get in now because there's just more courses.
Right.
But you do have to do a course because it is like architecture to a point.
Yeah, it's got to be structurally sound, safe for the actors and obviously safe for the audience as well, because they could be in direct sort of position to be, you know, at risk if anything was to go wrong, I guess, wouldn't they?
Exactly, all that stuff. Plus, on a practical level, you have to learn how to model make
and
technical draw, and you know, there's how to glue cardboard and how to, you know, you just it is a job to learn how to do it. Basically,
no, definitely.
Are there bits that people can specialize in, or is it more of a everybody learns sort of how to do everything, or what is the course like?
Well, we were very much in a studio where we sat at our desk and made models.
Yeah.
But there's other courses, you know, I've been working a bit at Rose Bruford lately.
Okay.
And there's really good courses there. You could do design, but you can also do design realisation. And so you could build sets, props, scenic art. There's courses where you can learn all that, which is really good. Yeah, because you might not just want to design. It's hard. If you want to really, really want to design, you really probably do need to do a proper 3-year or more course, because it's architecture. But if you want an introduction to it, and you don't know whether you want to do set, props, scenery, any of that, there are courses for that.
There's a lot of
work as well going. And people I know can't find scenic artists at the moment because they're all gone to film and Netflix and stuff. So you just sort of want to say to people, hey, this is a really good job. There's loads of work out there if you want to get trained quick.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing.
Employment in 3 years.
I think a lot of people assume with the theatre that it's pretty much, you know, you're either on stage or you're directing it, and people don't realise all the opportunities that are available backstage, in the wings, making costume, making set,
there's
doing
loads.
All those things. So it'd be really great for more people to kind of learn those different skills and get involved.
It's true. People think, oh, if you do art, you'll never get a job. There's loads of jobs.
Yeah.
And your work has taken you all around the world, hasn't it?
It has. Yeah.
where have you been? What have you worked on?
I've worked a lot in Alaska. I started in Alaska when I was quite young, which is really random. And I've just come back from there all these years later because it just made me a load of contacts. That's random. And then the opposite of that is Bermuda, where I've done loads of musicals, just like the exact opposite in the planet.
That's amazing. How do you get into that? Is it because you've
it's met total people? Luck and chance. Yeah, it's really luck. Yeah, this woman I designed Fiddler on the Roof for her in Birmingham. One of those jobs that I probably got paid £300, and I worked so hard.
Yeah.
And made the set look amazing, and then she got the job directing Fiddler on the Roof in Bermuda and wanted that same set. And you know, sometimes you think it pays off in ways you can't possibly know about in advance.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
You know, you don't initially get paid. Hold on. It might happen.
Yeah.
And what recently have you been doing in Alaska then?
I was painting a mural.
Okay. What was that for?
A bit different. a big shop that was opening. It was a massive wall. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. But I designed operas out there and stuff, and so people know me, so that, you know, so I guess it's just a massive backdrop, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? There you go. So I got scenic art skills as well, because I've worked as a scenic artist. It's quite good to have a backup job or skill or something.
Sure.
That's whether you're an actor or anyone, isn't it? Because you can't necessarily, especially at the start, make a full-time living.
No, it's very
unpredictable. You don't necessarily go straight into it. Yeah. So yeah. Scenic art's been my backup job, and it's great because I'm always learning still when I'm doing that.
Yeah,
about design, so sort of one feeds the other.
And often when you're creating a show, often there's obviously a large set, there's big structures, loads of props. Environmentally, what do you do within your job to kind of make things? You know, can you recycle things? Can you use props again? Can you turn them into other things? How does that kind of work?
It doesn't make me feel great. The amount of building and everything that gets scrapped.
Right.
It's not great, but it's still better than the events industry, where you make everything for one night only.
Yeah,
for somebody's party, and at least I know that we're changing lives and enriching people's lives.
Yes,
but yeah, and it runs for a good while, and that's the only way I can feel all right about it.
Yeah,
but sometimes panto sets get sold on, so there's that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So how
the whole set sometimes gets taken by a company that have storage, and they'll use it again here and there, and they'll use us. Yeah, I don't love that, because it's my work, and that somewhere out there is a piece of this and a piece of that bunged into another panto, and I don't like to think about it. But and I know it's better because it's not wasted.
Well, that's true. Yeah, yeah. And how does that happen?
Yeah.
Do someone from another theatre, do they come and see the set, like just sort of looking at the pantomime and think, oh, I love that bit.
Or they'll just look at photos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they'll say, that can go into our stock.
Oh, I didn't know that happened.
But yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah.
We actually do have the Wolsey has a, we call it the prop store. So I think we quite often put, well, exactly what it sounds like, props put into storage.
Yes.
So.
Yes, that's definitely a thing. There's certain stuff in, people don't have storage. People don't have space often. But there's certain things you will definitely keep from year to year.
Yeah,
Obvious things like a giant carrot is going to come up, or, you know, things like random things like that. Yeah.
I'm just going to put you on the spot a little bit here. What's the favourite design that you've done, or the favourite show that you've worked on? I know obviously you did, a pantomime in Watford last year, which I think you won an award for, didn't you?
Yeah,
congratulations.
Best set design. Thank you very much. Yeah, it wasn't just me. It was half the new Wolsey team were winning for everything.
Well,
I was in good company. Yeah, yeah. yeah, that's really hard, because you tend to love the one you're working on, don't you?
Yeah.
I absolutely love the producers. That's hilarious. Yeah, I really love doing that.
Yeah.
It was really hard work, but it's really funny. It might be that.
What was it about?
It might
that
be that. Well, I love the show anyway.
Yeah.
It was in Bermuda. We did it in Bermuda. And the whole springtime for Hitler is like designing the campest, most over-the-top scenery for a non-existent musical that has to look so bad it's good. It was really, really fun. That was brilliant.
That sounds like
glittery tanks and stuff. Yeah.
Before we let you go, we're just going to ask if there's any other kind of tips you've got for people, or if there's any sort of advice you want to give to anybody that's looking to start out in this industry.
Yeah, have a go. Anything you can get involved in, get involved, and photograph it and stick it on your CV.
Yeah.
You know, volunteering for things is great.
Yeah.
And writing to people like me, people write to me and say, can I help you? And I say, yeah, come on down tomorrow. Just come down. I'm always going to want to help.
Yeah, sure.
And then, you know, they always learn stuff and they stick it on their CV and they'll probably get a job. It's those people who have an advantage over the ones who don't do that and don't think that people will say no, because they probably won't.
Yeah.
You have to just go for it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And do you have any websites or socials that that people can check out at all? You know, check out your work?
Yes. I have a website. It is cleopettit.com. 4 T's in Pettit.
Cool. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. It's been really interesting to get to know a little bit more about set and costume design. Yeah, we'll see you back here later this year for Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Excellent. I look forward to it.
So we'll see you then. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please tell your friends about us and give us a share on social media.
If you'd like to get involved with our podcast, please drop us an email to podcast@woolseytheatre.co.uk.
We have a full and exciting programme of shows, activities and events throughout the year. For more information, visit our website at woolseytheatre.co.uk or call the box office on 01473 295 900.
The New Woolsey Theatre is a registered charity and relies on funding partners, investors and donations. We gratefully acknowledge the support of Arts Council England, Suffolk County Council and Ipswich Borough Council.
This podcast is for entertainment purposes, is produced and managed by our friends at podtalk.co.uk and is the copyright of the New Woolsey Theatre.